Well, praise God. Let's get into the Word today, because that's what we've really come for, right? It's the Word of God that speaks to us. It's the Word of God that does in our lives what He wants to do in our life. And so praise God for that. Thank you for the Word of God. OSL students, the series, really it's not a series, but let's just call it the series Tithing. T-I-T-H-I-N-G, Tithing. And then the title today of the message is Give Till It Tickles. Give till it tickles. And we're going to talk about having the joy of giving. Every year about this time, at Thanksgiving time, I take a break from what we're speaking and we go into messages related to our giving, our thanksgiving, in our thankfulness for what God has done in giving back to Him. And so praise God for that. And so we're going to take a little break, and don't worry about our gifts and the spiritual gifts and the things that we've been looking at. We're definitely going to get back into that. It's going to be in the new year, because we're going to have our Thanksgiving service and then our holiday services as far as our Christmas stuff and everything that's happening. And so the Lord has pretty much laid on my heart this October, as I've been praying for the theme for the new year, that there won't be a theme for the new year. We are going to continue in the things that God is speaking to us about the spiritual gifts, spiritual power in our church, and those things, because God wants to take us a step forward in 2023. I really believe that. So the series Tithing, the message today, give till it tickles. Now, let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would bless this service today, God. I ask that you would use me, God, this frail flesh, God, to speak your word. Let it be something that challenges our hearts. Let it be something that grows us up and matures us. Let it be something that makes a difference in who we are and the way we act, God. Lord, grow our church up and make us more like you, Jesus. And so, Father, I just ask that in the midst of my voice, we would hear your voice. We would hear your word speaking to us. And your word would grow us up and, God, again, make us more like you. Father, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know that we have all just cast our votes this past week in regards to new elective officers in our country and in our state and in our local government. And I'll tell you, some of us are very happy right now to be casting those votes, especially with the amount of money that we are shoveling out for everything that we're buying. Amen? Don't be surprised by that, church. Don't be surprised by the fact that you're putting out more money for things. The Bible's very clear to say that in the last days, these things would take place. That it's going to take, at some point in the last days, a bag of gold to buy a loaf of bread. Now, we're not there yet with our level of recession and our level of inflation, but who knows how long it'll be. But we definitely do believe that we are in those days that Jesus is going to return. And what I want to do today is I want to share with you a tried and true, hear that word true, a tried and true way that we as believers can beat that inflation and beat that recession and be able to have money that we had not had before, okay? And I want to tell you, it's all in the biblical principle of seed time and harvest. It's called tithing. I say seed time and harvest because that's the principle behind it, that you can never outgive God, that as you pour into God, God is always gives it back, always blesses it. It's always abundant. It's always greater than what we gave to Him. And so my title today for the message, Give Till It Tickles, probably is not a very popular headline in today's economy and in the things that are going on, but it still is a very real truth as it applies to the way that God said He would bless us as we would be obedient to give to Him. And that's what I want to see. That's what I want you to see today. I want you to see the joy. I want you to see the excitement in your heart that you can have in giving to the things of God. Now, let's look at a story in the Bible today. If you know the story of the widow's mite, Jesus is standing at the wall of the temple, and He's just observing people. Now, why would we be surprised that Jesus is observing people? Because why is He here? Why is He on this earth? Why is He in the flesh? He's here on this earth and in the flesh because He's coming to save the people. He's coming to save the human race. He cares about people. He's here for people. And so it does not stretch any part of my imagination that Jesus many times stood in places in public and watched the people and the things they did. He came for them. He's going to die, give His life for them. And so He wants to see what things are happening. And on this day, He's watching how they give to the treasury of the temple. Basically, the same thing that we do when we pass the plate around. He's kind of watching what they're putting in the plate, so to say. They're not passing a plate. This is a box or some sort of thing that they would put the money into for the temple, but it's the same type of thing. They were giving to the work of the Lord. And he's watching, he and his disciples are there, and we know that he's got some discussion going on with them, but they're watching the rich put in from their leftovers, the rich put in from their abundance, and they're slipping a $100 bill in, and they're maybe acting, hey, look what I put into the plate. Now, we don't do that today, right? But at least I hope we don't. But the fact of the matter is these things were happening. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples. He might be saying, hey, look what that person put in. Look what this person put in. We don't know the whole conversation. But we do know this. Jesus was only on this earth for 3 years with his disciples in teaching them. And so everything that Jesus did with his disciples became a way for him to give them, impart to them, spiritual truth. And this is what he's doing. He's using them. He's using this situation, this giving into the treasury of the temple, as a lesson for the disciples. Because they had to be on their fast track for learning. He was going to be leaving them soon. And so they needed to know. And in the middle of all of this, their conversation, they're watching, they're looking at how things are going. In the middle of this, a little old lady comes along, and she deposits into the treasury 2 mites. Now, I don't know how Jesus knew exactly what she deposited. He must have been close enough to see it. But she puts in her 2 mites. 2 mites are about 2 cents in our value today, probably less than that today. And in the Roman system of money, it was actually a poor laborer's day wage. So this woman deposits a full day's wage for a poor laborer of that day into the monies, into the collection plate of the temple of the day. The Bible tells us that it was all that she had. In other words, she had given everything. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he tells them that this little woman has put in more in the treasury today than anybody else who has placed into the treasury. And the disciples are probably thinking, what? We just saw people give a $100 bill. We saw people give this. We saw people give that. And these 2 cents are worth more than anybody else has put in? And he says, yes, because she gave from her need. These men, these people, they only gave from their abundance. They gave from the overflow. She gave everything that she had. I have to ask a question today. What would make a widow who surely needed everything that she put into that plate today, who surely needed those 2 mites to live on, what would make her put everything that she had into the treasury of the temple? Why would she do that? That's what we're going to look at today. That's what I want to look at. And I think it's a very timely message, especially in the economy we're living in, when people are having to make decisions sort of like, can I fill up the car today or do I need to buy food for the table? And maybe we're not all there yet, but things are getting tight for all of us. And they're making decisions about what to do. And when that happens, people start to make decisions about where they are going to cut back. Where they're not going to spend as much as they used to spend because they need to save money for other things. And one of the questions in those times that definitely arises in the homes of all the believers, in the homes of those who believe in giving to the church and to the things that are happening, is, okay, how much now can we give to the Lord? Some are even wondering if it's still possible for them to give it all to the things of the Lord. And so this is what's happening. You know, Kim and I, we share the same financial burdens as each and every one of you, maybe different levels, depending on different bills and those types of things. I'm paying for both of my sons' schooling. I'm paying off their loans because I believe as a dad that is something that I'm supposed to do. And so we're footing those bills. We're paying those bills. This is why we're working a few jobs and to gain the extra money to make that happen. But I can tell you one place, and my wife would be in total agreement with me, one place where we will not compromise. Church family, we will not compromise in our giving to the Lord's work. That 10% is his always, will be his always, no matter what the situations of the economy, no matter what the situations of the bills of the house are, no matter what we think we need or what we feel we need, we will never stop giving to the Lord's work. It's one of the things that my parents instilled in us as children from a very young age. Give to the Lord, and you will never regret doing it. It will always come back. It will always be blessed. And I got to tell you, in the years that we've been tithing, there have been some tough checks to write. There have been some times when I'm writing out the check, I'm like, oh God, I could really use this money right now. God, you know this is coming due, this has to be done. And you look at the finances, but I can tell you this, every time we write those checks, as tough as they were, and every time we deposit them from a cheerful heart, God has never taken his hands off of our finances. And we have seen his blessings, and we have seen money that would not have been there if we had not tithed when we needed it. God is faithful. And so that's what we're going to look at today, church. So we're going to look at why we give to God's ministry, why we give to the church, why we give to the things that God is doing, why we invest and why we continue to invest in the kingdom of heaven. And that is where my title comes in today. For I believe that true rejoicing takes place in our lives, true happiness takes place in our lives because of the way that we give into and the way that we support the work of the Lord's house. And I believe that it works the other way just as well. That if we don't give, we're not blessed. I have to tell you, I believe that if you see the Christians that are struggling and you see the ones that are complaining that they never have enough, I'm going to throw this out. 99.9% of the time, if you ask them if they're tithing, they're going to say, no, I'm not tithing. I can't afford to tithe. That's a shame because they're missing the greatest blessing in their life and they're missing the very thing that will set them free to be able to do what God has called them to do. Because let's face it, if we're going to continue to give in this day, if you're going to continue to give in this economy, then we have to be able to find joy in that giving. There has to be something in our lives that says this is worth it, that this is valuable, and I believe that this is what God wants. 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that God loves a cheerful, or that word there when it's translated from the original language can mean hilarious. God loves a cheerful and hilarious giver. Are you one of them today? Is there a joy in your heart in giving? When you put in that plate today, was there a joy? Is there a laughter in your life about releasing those finances, releasing that check into the coffers of the church today? Are you one of them? Or did you regrettably place that bill or that check? Or did you regrettably place that button on, hit that button online or send that check into us today? Are you one of them? Or where does your life stand with the seriousness of giving to the things of God? I will tell you this, and I suspect that you already know this. In this church, you will never be coerced to give into anything that we do. Hear what I'm saying. And I will also tell you this. I believe that those of you who are following the Lord's command to bring in your 10% have to be doing so in the day that we're living in because you have found the secret of joy in giving, of having a cheerful heart in giving to the Lord's work. This widow, she had to have had some joy in her giving. She had to see something that made her drop everything that she had in her pocket that day into that box. She had to have believed God when he said, I will take care of you. I will look after you. I will meet your needs. I will do what needs to be done so that you can make it through. And she drops that money in. That he would fulfill his name of Jehovah Jireh. That's the Old Testament name of God that means God my provider. She trusted it. I was just talking with somebody last Sunday, I don't remember who it was, about the names of God. And we were talking about how many names there are. Well, here we have one of the names of God that we can trust in. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Do you believe in Jehovah Jireh today? Are you giving like you believe in Jehovah Jireh today? Are you living like you believe in Jehovah Jireh today? That's how we should be today. But as I say so many times, living in such a blessed country like America can really become a curse, doesn't it? Hey, and we know that the Israelites dealt with the same thing because back in the Old Testament, when they were about ready to go into the promised land, God gave them the same warning that we have to give to Americans sometimes. We become so self-sufficient and we can pretty much supply for or do whatever we need to make happen. Right? Because we're living in a blessed country. And he told them, he said, listen, when you go into the promised land, you're going to live in homes that you did not build. You're going to eat from vineyards that you did not, and fields that you did not work. And the food is there. And you're going to say to yourself, look what we've done. And you're going to forget me. Be careful, he said. And that's what we do in America. That's exactly what's happening in our country. We come into places where we get so self-confident in what we can do and the things that we're making happen that we forget about God and we forget about giving back to him and giving thanks to him. But what happens when that isn't the case? What happens when the blessings aren't flowing? What happens when you lose your job? What happens when you become sick? Or what happens when a tragedy strikes that you weren't expecting? I tell you that we need to learn this tithing concept, this biblical principle of seed time and harvest, while we can give. Because if we don't learn it now, and we don't give and we don't see the reason for it now, while we can give, we will never want to give when we can't. We will never want to give from our need, like this little old woman did, this little old widow, because we won't see the need. Because this is what's going to release God to be able to supply our need in the days when things get really tight and in the days when things get really tough. It's going to be our giving that reduces the power of the devourer over our lives and releases God to move in our lives. I believe that with all of my heart. In fact, I'll say it like this. I believe that we can expect from God in this relationship the amount to what we are willing to give. You hear what I'm saying? That you can expect to receive from God the amount of what you are willing to give. Nothing more, nothing less. So give largely, give big, because God wants to bless you big. Allow the principle of tithing to become something of a foundation in your life. This widow, I'm sure that she was not ready for the time that her husband passed. We don't know how long she's been a widow, but I guarantee you she wasn't ready for it. In this time, where she's in history, where she lives, she's probably not allowed to work. And if she was allowed to work, it was menial tasks because she was a woman. So she really wasn't allowed to provide for herself. And she takes the last of what she has and she gives it to the Lord. I'll say it again. I think this widow had found the joy in giving to the things of God. And when we find that same joy in our lives, when we find that same joy in our hearts in giving, then we will find ourselves, church, in a place where we're just willing to give everything to Jesus. Where we're just willing to not even count it as loss, but count it as gain. Amen? To understand that it is a privilege and a blessing to give and to devote more and more time and resources into the kingdom of God. That joy will well up in our hearts because we will understand what it means. Turn with me over to our scriptures for today. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 to 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 to 9. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, now they're building the house of God, they're building the temple, Solomon's temple. And so David is the king that wanted to do it. He wasn't allowed to do it because he was a king of warfare, but his son Solomon would be allowed to do it because he would be a king of peace. So furthermore, David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple was not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. The gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave freely. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Now, I forget what a talent is, but I can tell you this, it's a lot. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jael the Gershonite. And this is our verse. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. The people rejoiced in their hearts. Listen, church, the people rejoiced in their hearts because of what they could give. Because of how much they could give. They were rejoicing in the fact that they were able to give more than they thought they were able to give to the work of the Lord. That's what this message is all about. This message is all about the joy of giving. And I pray that you, each of us, every one of us, find that in our living, in our giving, and in the way that we praise and worship God. But how does that happen? How do we get joyful about giving to the Lord? How does that happen? How does giving to the Lord become something that takes precedent in our lives over everything else? It's simple. It comes from the heart. When you're giving from the heart, a heart that loves God, a heart that understands the work of God, when you're giving from a heart that just wants to reach out to God and love Him with all that you have, then it's not hard to give. It's not hard to serve. It's not hard to work. It's not hard to do anything because it comes from the heart. Look back at verse 1 with me. What does David say there? He says, "The work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God." My first point today is this. We give from the bottom of our hearts and from the bottom of our pockets because the work of God is great and worthwhile supporting. This means that you see the importance and the significance of what you are giving to. That's what it means. I can back up a little bit here because now the sun has gone down a little bit. It was really shining in the window here pretty brightly as I was recording. This means that you see the importance and the significance of what you are giving to. Let me ask you a question. Is what takes place in this building, every time we meet, worthwhile to you? Do you see importance in it? Is what God is doing in this place, is what God is doing in our community, is that something that you're willing to write a check for? Is it something that you're willing to serve for? Is it something that you're willing to sign down for and be a part of because you believe that it's that important? I can tell you how you can know whether it is or not. Just look at your bank account. Just look at your checkbook. Just look at your calendar. Look at your phone. Those things and how much you're willing to spend and how much you're willing to mark them off for the things of God, for the things of the church, those things will tell you how important the kingdom of God really is to you. Look back at those ministry sheet sign downs back there and see where your name is, how many weeks your name is on, and how many different ministries. With where our church is, with the size now, we're going to have people doing 2 and 3 different ministries. Because we just don't have the amount of people to fill everything right now. But that's coming, amen? But we need to be faithful in the little things right now. And so look and see how many times your name is on. Look at the alarm clock on your phone. Look at the things that you set on your phone, the reminders. And see, are you setting reminders for men's group? Are you setting reminders for women's group? Are you setting reminders for this in the church? Maybe we're doing a night meeting. Maybe we're doing a living room service. And I know we didn't do a living room service last month, but that was because we started OSL again, so we couldn't do both. We're going to get back to it. We're going to continue to have those. Those are wonderful services. But are you looking at those things and saying, you know what? They're worthwhile. They're important. I believe in them. They're on my phone, they're on my calendar, they're on the things that I need to remind me to be there. Come on, church, it's either amen or ouch. That's what it is. It's either amen, yes, pastor, man, my calendar, my checkbook, everything shows how much I love Jesus, or ooh, ouch, pastor. Ouch, maybe I'm not as committed as I need to be. Maybe I'm not as supportive as I need to be in some of those things. I bring up scriptures that I always bring up in my messages for tithing. You can't speak a message of tithing without them. Malachi 3, verses 8 to 12. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what have we robbed you? How have we robbed you, God?" He says, "In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts." The only place that he tells us to test him. Every place else in the Bible says, "Do not test me." Here with our money, here with our finances, God says, "Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." This is a problem with those believers that aren't tithing and they're saying, "I can't afford to tithe. I don't have enough to tithe." The reason why they can't tithe is because the devourer is taking from them, is stealing from them. And the devourer will not be rebuked, the devourer will not be removed until they begin to tithe. So he says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Now he's talking to Israel here, but I want you to know, these are promises that we can stand on. These are promises for believers who are willing to take up the principle of seed time and harvest and give to the house of God. You can trust in this word. What do we do with that word, church? What are you thinking about that word? Again, amen or ouch. This is the command. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. Now, we're going to talk about tithe next week, because I always take 2 weeks during this time of the year to talk about tithing and the principles of tithing and those things. It's usually a 2-week message. And so next week, when I'm here, we'll talk about the tithe. We'll talk about what it really means. What it really means is the tenth, 10%, not 5%. Not 9.5%, not 9.99%. He's talking about 10%. He's also talking about not whether you feel like it or not. And not just 1 week a month or just whenever you feel like it. No, every time you receive a blessing from the Lord, 10% should go back to the Lord. And I'm talking about a blessing in our time. I'm talking a blessing in our effort. I'm talking a blessing in our giftings. And I'm talking a blessing in our finances. We need to tithe from all of those areas, at least 10% back to the Lord. What do we do with that? Amen or ouch? Some of us obey it. We obey it. Some of us don't obey it, don't want to obey it, won't obey it. And then some of us, we love it. What? You mean you can love giving that much money to the Lord? We love it. How? How do you love it? Because we know that what we are giving to is great. Because we know that it is the work of the Lord and that God God blesses in those things. We know that it is the work of the kingdom of God on this earth. And so we know that it is worthwhile. Listen, I'll give my time. I'll give my effort and I'll give my wallet to something that is a priority on my list. And so will you. Is this house, is this ministry a priority on your list? If not, then maybe you need to find another church. And I don't want that because I love being your pastor. Or maybe you need to find another work of the Lord that you can give to. But I don't want that. I want you here because I feel God has called you here and God has placed you here. But I have a feeling God has brought you here for something great, something good. And maybe the preaching of this message today, as much as this pastor does not like to preach about money and does not, except for these 2 times a year, I believe that this preaching of the message will set you free. David says in verse 2, I have prepared for this house with all my might. Or let me paraphrase. He's saying, I have prepared the work for the house of God with everything that is within me. In other words, David says, I'm all in. I'm all in. When we see it as something that is important, we will throw our whole hearts into it. Amen. Is that you today? Is your whole heart here? Can you say that this is where God has told me to throw my heart in? This is where God has told me to throw my power and my strength in. This is where God has told me to throw my finances and my resources in. Praise God. That means God's going to do something good here. And that's why I believe you're here. Secondly, today, we will give from the bottom of our hearts and the bottom of our pockets because the work of God is something that we love to support. Now, Pastor, don't go there. How dare you say that if I don't give, I don't love what's going on here. I'm not saying it. It's not me. This is the Word of God. Over and over again in the Scriptures, God says to His people things like this. And I'm not going to quote the Scripture, but you know they're in the Scriptures. If you love me, you will keep my words. Doesn't He tell us that? He says, if you love me, you will live your life sold out for me. If you love me, you will give me everything. Isn't that in the Word today? Isn't that Scripture today? Those are all Scriptures. Those are all principles. Listen, I love my wife, and I love my children, and I spend money on them to make them happy, to buy them things. I'm doing my Christmas shopping already because I don't know how things are all going to end up, and I figured as I got the money, I'm going to spend it, and Kenny's almost done. Christian's done already. Miss Kimmy, not so much yet, but, you know, those things. Why do I do that? I do that. It's a joy to do that. Last night, I bought Chris's gift, and as I pressed buy and to know that it's coming, I was really happy. I was really happy because I love him. He's my son. Listen, I love myself. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself. A matter of fact, the reason why Jesus gave his life for us is that we could learn to love ourselves because the enemy tells us that we're wretched and that we're sinners and that we're broken. We are. But Jesus' sacrifice brings a self-love, not a pride, not something that halts us up above everybody else, but a love for ourselves that then allows us to love others. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You have to love yourself first. You have to see respect for yourself first before you can respect others, before you can respect. And that comes from knowing who Jesus is. And so I love myself and I spend money to keep myself happy, don't I? We all do that. The question then is, do I love God more? Do I love God deeper? Am I willing to give more to God than I give to myself? Am I willing to give more to God than I give to my children and to my wife? Do I love Him that much? Because if I love Him that much, then that's how much I'm willing to give to Him. That's how much I'm willing to spend on Him. How I spend is important to me. Where I spend is important to me. And where I spend in the house of God should be evident of how much I love Him or how much I don't love Him. Verse 3. Moreover, David says, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. David says, I haven't given what I've given for other things. I'm not going to give to God what I give for other things, right? What's he saying? He's saying, if I spent so much on my house, if I spent so much on this life, then I'm going to go over and beyond in my giving to the things of God. He says, I've even given of my own special treasure. What is your own special treasure? It's that which is deep in your heart. It's that which your life craves. It's that which your life values. It is from what is important to you. David says, I've given from my own special treasure. Now, I have spoken about this scripture many times, but it really is a great lesson in giving. 1 Chronicles 21:24. Then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing. What has happened here? David has sinned mightily against God. And David knows that he has to offer a sacrifice. And he comes to the land where there's a threshing floor and a great place to build an altar. And he asks Ornan, because Ornan is the man who owns this land. And he asks Ornan, what is the price that I can buy this land? And Ornan says to David, King, I'll just give it to you. You're the king. I'll just give it to you. And David says, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord. This belongs to you. Nor, listen to this, will I offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing. This is what I think that little widow understood. She understood that it had to cost something. She understood that there had to be some hurt in giving, not a pain that makes us mad about giving, but a hurt that says, I've given all I can. I've given beyond all I can. That's a good hurt. Here's what was happening. The fat cats were all giving from what they had surplus. Oh, I made so much money this week. I can afford to give $10. Oh, I made $1 million this week. I can afford to give $100. And they're giving from their surplus. But the widow, she gave from all that she had. What is the sacrifice that's going to honor God? According to David, it's that which hurts me to give. It's that which costs me to give. That's what the sacrifice is. David says, I even give of my own special treasure. Why? Because I have set my affection on the house of God. There are people who aren't here today. COVID has even changed that, because there are people now. And listen, I know that people are watching us online because of being distances away from us. But there are simple, let's just be honest, people that are watching us online that just aren't here because they're comfortable at home. They didn't want to get out and start the car. They didn't want to have to get dressed. And so they're eating with their hot Captain Crunch in their pajamas on their soft chair, and they're watching church. Nothing wrong with that, but we need them here. And I'll say that many times, and you've heard me say that, and I joke about it because sometimes I don't want to be hurtful of people, but the thing is, we need the church together. People aren't here today for various reasons. Some of them are working, we get that. Some of them have other things, but we have to understand something here. The problem is, we're in a society that is anti-Christ, anti-church, and so your boss doesn't see a reason to give you time on Sunday or not to ask you to come in for extra money because church is important. You see what I'm saying? Wednesdays. Thank God for we're not going to cancel Wednesdays. We're going to keep it going. Our Bible studies are great. And we get a few in-house. And we get some online. And thank God for those online. We know that Peter and Dominica, they come from Central Jersey. And Tresha's down in Florida. And those, they're always on Wednesday nights because they can't be here. And thank God for that. We call a prayer meeting and we might get five. Why? Because we live in a society that is anti-church, is anti-Christ. But even greater than that, listen, church, let's not make excuses. Even greater than that is we have people who have not set their affection upon the house of God. It simply is not a priority. If I want to go, I'll go. If I don't want to go, I can watch it online. We have a saying in our house, I'm just saying. I say that to my boys, I'm just saying. What am I saying? I'm making a point, but I don't want them to think I'm being too hard on them. I'm just saying. Psalm 84, talking about our commitment to the house of God, our love for the house of God. Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts. My king and my bird, I'm talking about birds here, and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. Selah means stop, pause, and think about what you just said. Meditate on it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is a journey to a religious place to serve and worship the Lord. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Stop and think. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. Listen to this. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. In other words, a day serving in the house of God, being an usher, doing something with the children, playing an instrument, singing, is better than a thousand days elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather be a toilet cleaner. I would rather be a swinging a broom or opening a door in the house of my God than dwelling in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord God of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Can I tell you today that that is affection for God's house? Do you have it today, brother? Sister, is it in your heart today? Are those your reflections of what it means to serve God? Do you know how you can tell? Do you want to be here today? That's the question. Was it your heart's desire to jump out of bed as soon as that alarm went off and get here and be happy about it? Or was it a struggle? And are you still struggling? Can you not wait for the church doors to be opened to come in? Is this a place that you just need to be? Not that you want to be. You need to be here. It's valuable. It's important to life. It's important for the kids. It's important for the family. If not, check your heart. Because the world has crept in between your love for God and his house. And make it right. Lastly, today, we will give from the bottom of our hearts and the bottom of our pockets because there is joy in supporting what God is doing. 1 Chronicles 26, 29, 6 and 9. We already read them, but I need to bring them back to remembrance because this is that point. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. Willingly. They offered willingly. They gave freely. They gave cheerfully. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. I think you'll be surprised if you go back and do a search and find out what a talent is. You're going to see this is a lot. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. Why did they rejoice? Because they had offered willingly. Because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced. They offered willingly. They offered what they had, and they gave beyond what they thought they could give. And they were amazed, and they praised the Lord and rejoiced. Look what we did. We gave more than we thought we could give. We gave a whole lot more than we thought we could give. And what happened? Oh, they went home sad because their pockets were empty. No. They couldn't believe that now, when they went home, they couldn't afford the large screen TV because they gave to the things of the Lord. Oh, they couldn't put the new audio system in the car because they gave to the Lord. Were they wailing? Were they gnashing teeth? Were they sorry? No. What were they doing? They were rejoicing. They were singing. They were dancing. They had given freely and willingly. They had given from a loyal heart for the Lord. They found great joy in not holding anything back from the Lord. Listen to me, church. When God has our hearts, we will have joy in everything that we do for Him. Isn't it amazing that you can come to the end of the year and the church will give you that little slip of paper showing what you gave to the church? And some of you are going to say, oh my gosh, how did I give that much? I can't believe it. Praise God. Lord, thank you, because I didn't miss a beat with my bills. I didn't miss a beat in anything else. And look what I was able to give to you. I praise you, Jesus. That's impossible. Listen, when God has our hearts, we will have joy. If it hurts to give, we are giving in the wrong attitude. If we think it's going to be painful, and I'm not talking about something that we understand we need to give. I'm not talking about that like the widow. I'm talking about, if we're really sorry that we gave, then we're giving from a wrong mindset. Pray and ask the Lord to change that. But these people look back and they rejoice in what they had given. They rejoice because they gave more than they thought they possibly could have given. How is that possible? Why did we do this? Because God met the need of the church, and God met their needs in their giving. Listen to me, church. There is always joy when we see that we have really overcome our flesh and died to ourselves. Do you hear what I'm saying? And giving is part of that. Dying to the flesh and dying to ourselves. These people rejoiced because they found out that their hearts were in the right place. That's what they were happy about. My heart's in a better place than I thought. Look what I gave to the Lord. Look what I was willing to do. And that's a great place to be. Where's your heart today? Does it see that God's work is worthwhile? Does it see that God's work is great? Does it love the work of the Lord? Does it rejoice when you dig down into your pocket, into your bank book, and give that check or hit that send button or whatever? Does it really, is your heart joyful in that? You see, tithing is a matter of the heart. I want to encourage you today, in closing, to give deeper. I want to encourage you today to give better than you've ever given before. We're not taking another offering, so don't worry about that. If you don't tithe, I want to encourage you to think about starting. Some of you have started tithing, but not with the 10%. You've decided to try it out a little bit. I want to encourage you to go for the full amount and see what God will do. Not because we need your money. God has blessed this church, and we don't make this church about money. But I want you to see that this is a true standard of God's word. I want you to see that this is a biblical principle that you can literally bank your life upon. I want you to find the joy of giving to the Lord. Let's be cheerful givers today. Amen. Can we pray? And in prayer, I thought maybe we could do something special. We didn't read the verses, but 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 17, talk about a prayer or a song or the praise that they were giving to God because of what they were able to give to Him, the amazement. And I thought maybe we could pray that today as cheerful givers. Make it our prayer today. Okay, so it's going to go on the screen. Please make sure it's on the screen. And let's pray this. Pray it at home with us today too. But let me read verse 10 first, and then we're going to make it our prayer. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, now you don't have to close your eyes because I need you to read, but let's pray this and make it a prayer today. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this, that we were able to give so much? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have is prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. In other words, it belongs to you. Verse 17, come on, let's say it. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. And could we all say, Amen. Praise God.